The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Monday edition of The Drive. Welcome to December, everybody. It looks like it outside, although it's not as cold as it appears. It's just been overcast all day. But, yes, welcome into the Monday Drive. Bill and Dan, we're going to be joined shortly by Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here at Franklin Tire. It's been a while since we've been here at Franklin Tire, and timing couldn't have been better for me as – My wife's car needs an oil change.
It's been a while since we've been at Franklin. It's been a while since I've co-hosted a show with you.
Dan, my goodness. It's been 2 weeks.
I still work here, yeah, after a tour that took me to Manhattan, Kansas and Columbia, Missouri with the Troy women's basketball team, and then Las Vegas last week to watch both the Auburn men in the players era and the Troy Trojans in the Resorts World Classic. And got back afternoon, evening yesterday. And
by that time, Auburn had a new head football coach.
I'll tell you what, honestly, when I got on the plane leaving Las Vegas, Auburn did not have a coach. And
it wasn't announced because apparently Auburn had a coach at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, no, I was on a roll at the roulette table at Circus by then. There had not been an announcement when I got on the plane, right. And when I land, a barrage of text messages and calls and mm-hmm. inquiries and a name that we discussed a little bit.
Yeah, and you had mentioned him early on. Even before Auburn had an opening, you said, hey, keep an eye on this guy down at South Florida, Alex Golish. Remember, they opened the season with wins over Boise and Florida and jumped into the top – I think they were right at the top 15 – and, a 9-3 season for Alex Golish, who is Auburn's 33rd head football coach.
Right, and I was asked what I thought about the hire when I was on the Doug show earlier today, and the thing to me is, and again, it seems more art than science as far as figuring out, you know, which coach is going to do well and which one isn't. You know, as we were saying with John Sumrall, you hope he's Kirby Smart. You could get Will Muschamp level results, right? You don't know exactly which one you're getting, and you know with I'll tell you a UCF example. Why did it work for
Josh Heupel and not Scott Frost?
And not Scott Frost, right? When they both seem to have similar success.
Oh, they had similar backgrounds.
But I'll say this about Alex. So I don't know, but there's a lot to like about this hire.
I agree.
This guy
absolutely.
This guy stepped into disasters at Tennessee when he got there with Josh Heupel after Jeremy Pruitt's situation. He was a big part of that turnaround, important enough to get the South Florida job. John Cohen mentioned it during the press conference introducing Alex Golish today. South Florida won 4 games in 3 years. I mean, after Willie Taggart.
In the 3 years prior to Alex Golish getting to South Florida, they won a total of 4 games.
So Willie Taggart wins enough at South Florida to get the Oregon job. And from that point on, they hire – do you remember this, Bill? Charlie Strong was at USF for a couple of years. They got worse every year under Coach Strong. Then they went with the Clemson assistant, Jeff Scott.
Jeff Scott.
And Jeff Scott's tenure just did not work seemingly at any point. And South Florida was in dire straits when Alex Golish is hired 3 seasons ago. He turns them into a winner immediately.
Yeah, they immediately win 6 games first year.
Seven. They 2 7-win seasons and a 9-win season this year.
Yeah, regular season was 6 in a regular.
But still, I mean, 2-7-6. Yes. Yeah, 2-7-6 seasons and then a 9-3 year this year. As John Cohen mentioned, if he coached the bowl game, very very easily could win 10. If you look, I understand if you wanted Auburn at the shopping at the very top of the market. If you wanted Auburn to poach Dan Lanning or Lane Kiffin, this is not going to light your world on fire, but I'm I would say if you look at how about this? Look at what Lane Kiffin was when Ole Miss hired him.
Right.
What had been, and I'm not talking about USC, and I'm not talking about Oakland. I'm saying
talking,
like the last 5 years. Like think about the previous 5 years when Ole Miss hired Lane Kiffin. He had been a highly successful coordinator at Alabama, and he had gone to a mid-major in Florida, and he'd turned them around immediately with his offense.
Right.
FAU. Like that, and that's what got him the Ole Miss job. So if you want to get in on the ground floor of somebody, you look at what Josh Heupel did before Tennessee hired him. Like a successful coordinator in the SEC who became the head coach at a mid-major that was struggling in Florida, turns them into a winner and gets the SEC job. Like there are reasons to believe that this is a hire.
If you wanted an offensive coach with a very good track record, and I'll tell you something else. Auburn fans, there's plenty to read about Alex Golish and very, very interesting reading. But go check out some Tennessee message boards. You want to know what Tennessee fans think of Alex Golish? They love him. They really feel like, and as a matter of fact, the word that John Cohen used however many times, 11, 13, whatever, in his announcement of looking for a replacement for Hugh Freeze, that's the word that Tennessee fans use about Alex Golish. They feel that their offense lost a little edge when Alex Golish left. Not that Tennessee has fallen, has really fallen off the face of the earth or anything, but they feel like their offense just was a little sharper with Alex Golish.
Sure, and I understand that, although I would point out Tennessee, in the playoff last season, and
that is right,
and lost their quarterback after spring practice this year, and in that weird situation with Nico. So I mean, it's not as though, and I don't hold it against Alex Golish that Tennessee maintained success after he left, right?
Because credit to Josh Heupel,
exactly. But at the same time, like I think that Alex Golish has stepped into two situations that really needed a significant change. Like he had two situations in his career where there was significant change needed, and he was part of the turnaround as an assistant at Tennessee, as the head coach at South Florida, part of turnarounds that lead you to believe. Sometimes, I'll tell you what. Remember when I was intrigued by Willie Fritz's candidacy, even though he was 66,
right?
Because winners win, and you look at Alex Golish of late. And he's been able to step into difficult situations, and turn them into winners.
I've seen some criticism because of the overall record, not knocking your socks off, the 23-15. Again, look at what it was and the direction it's trending. It wasn't come in, had a good year, and then is tailing off. It has been improving each year.
Sure, so. And he's going to have to make he's going to have to make a lot of important decisions between now, that was part of my question. The next few months.
This next week is critical to Alex Golish, and he said the priority. I was asking him to prioritize, and he said the priority right now is retaining as many players that want to be at Auburn as he can. You've got signing day coming up on Wednesday. Yes, they want to finish out the staff, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. But right now, his primary focus is meeting the players, getting their reaction and finding out, do they really want to be here? It's not as much do we really want them. It's the first thing is do they really want to be here? And do they want to be here under his – guidance.
And if you see, it reminds me a little bit of A&M going from Jimbo to Elko, right? In the, like, you look at Mike Elko, wasn't necessarily a candidate that had blow your socks off credentials, but they believed he was the right guy for the job and the guy that could bring that edge that was missing under Jimbo Fisher to Texas A&M, and now they're looking like a playoff team. It's in year two, in College Station. So I think that there's the thought that Alex Golish, especially with the recent success you can point to. Like this is a guy that you're getting in on the ground floor potentially of something really special, because he's also he's younger,
41
than some coaches that you've hired recently to be your head coach.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're just getting underway. Brian Matthews making his way in. He is joining us. There was a ball game Saturday. We can get to that. It's funny because it's been hard for Auburn people today. I mean, look, the Alex go. They want to know about their new head coach. But yes, we'll look back at Saturday night, as painful as that may be. Although we've seen it. You can swap mine into into one of the others and put his in there. We'll go ahead and get to our first break. We'd love for you to join in again. We're at Franklin Tire here on the Monday edition of The Drive. Franklin been taking care of folks and their vehicles for over a half century, and over 40 of those years right here at this location. Come on in if you're if you made a trip over the holidays, and hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. If you made trip and you know it's time for service, or if anything just pops up, you got a light that's on that shouldn't be on, they can take care of it here at Franklin. They're pretty darn busy today, as you would expect first day back after the holidays. But again, they're here and have been here because they have taken care of folks in their vehicles so well through the years. We'll get to our first break of the afternoon. Bill, Dan, and Brian, love for you to join us. 334-321-1390 as we're just underway on the Monday Drive.
888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. B-Matt, busy last few days.
Yeah, you mentioned the game. I'm like, oh, there was a game a couple days ago?
It feels like it was longer ago than just Saturday.
I don't know how much we're going to be breaking down the Iron Bowl.
No.
Because it immediately becomes almost irrelevant in the aftermath of a coaching change.
That's probably good for Auburn, right?
Well, I mean, it's just another in the seemingly unending line of close calls, near misses for Auburn this year. I mean, I will say this, though. Auburn is the only team I could find this century, the only SEC team I could find this century that has lost seven games by a touchdown or less. Excuse me, six games by a touchdown or less in one season.
Wow.
I mean, how about that? But that's not a great thing to be patting yourself on the back. But that tells you that they were in each. You know, they were in. We knew that.
Yeah.
But they were, and I know people don't want to hear that
word. They're so close, Bill.
But they were, Brian.
It represents what a missed opportunity this season was.
Yes.
But I think when you look at it and you see that Auburn lost so many games the same way, right?
Yes.
But that says something. These weren't just bad breaks.
It's an argument against, and I'm not singling out anyone, but it's a reason why Alex Golish would want to turn the page entirely from the Hugh Freeze era when it comes to coaches, because I mean, look, Auburn was, and it wasn't just a Hugh Freeze problem, because this was true in 2021 and 2022 as well, but Auburn, I mean, since the end of the Malzahn era, has been just like the worst fourth quarter team in America. It really is. I mean, how many of these games?
Well, you used to feel like, man, if it's a close game, Auburn's got a
especially
great shot.
Especially at home. Especially during here. It was automatic.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
And how many, how many times can you have 20 and the other team has, the dealer's got 21?
And I feel like there's a generation now of Auburn folks that are growing up and don't understand how it's supposed to be.
Right.
Or how it was. I mean, it's just ridiculous. This has gone on this long, and
that's another comparison to Tennessee. That's another thing where you could look at, like, Tennessee after Fulmer, when they went through over a decade of trying to figure out who they were and trying to align. And they, you know what? And attendance wasn't the problem at that stadium either, was it, Bill?
Like when
Tennessee was when guys like Derek Dooley and Butch Jones at first.
Yeah, I was going to say, theirs tailed off. Auburn's amazingly has not. But, I mean, Tennessee, that Neyland Stadium was nowhere near packed toward the end toward the end of the last couple of coaches. Right.
Yeah, towards the end, they would have that support at the beginning, and they would lose it.
Yeah, they come out and hoping that they're going to get it back.
And then seemingly Tennessee found somebody who represented an answer, and not coincidentally, I think Alex Golish being
part of that.
I mean, being part of that staff, you know, that had to be something that I imagine that's something John Cohen considered when he's looking at
he mentioned it today
might be the right coach to lead Auburn through this.
He talked about Alex being part of several rebuilding projects, or not necessarily all rebuilding, but you know, coming in and inheriting a new program and building it back up. I don't think Auburn is necessarily rebuilding. In some ways, it is.
Well, we'll find out how
lost,
much they are,
right? But in some ways, you know, you would think with the roster and the recruiting, depending on how they retain the roster, what happens there.
I mean, I still think it's a rebuild because, I mean, you're not where you want to be right now.
It is tough to really – when you think rebuild, you think you're starting over.
Sure,
right.
You have torn everything down.
And when you think it's not a rebuild, you think the team was good last season. Like when you're saying, the coach doesn't have to rebuild something, it's like, well, why? Because they
maybe won. A partial rebuild.
Maybe
is the
not
word.
Rebuild. You've got to what's
restore? You know, what I mean, like
renovate.
I mean, renovate.
Renovation.
It's a renovation, man. That's what it is. Because
putting down some new towel in the kitchen.
Because I think you've got a pretty good foundation.
Yeah.
You know,
so it's
a renovation.
And John Cohen thought that when he complimented the roster that Hugh Freeze, you know, with the steps Hugh Freeze had made to bring talent to Auburn the last couple of years. I think it was kind of pointed that's the thing he singled out about what Hugh Freeze had done. I think that's a reason why you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons why Alex Golish said the priority right now
is the roster. Yeah, and the other thing is, in this era, you don't necessarily have to wait for an extended time for a rebuild because the transfer portal is staring right at you, opens in another month or so. That's an opportunity for Auburn and this staff to fill in whatever holes they need to fill, and maybe that starts at quarterback with USF's quarterback. We'll see.
334-321-1390. We'd love to hear from you. We've got calls hanging on, and let's get things started with Jeff. Hey, Jeff.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Good, good, good. Well, I know we got a lot going on, but with the game Saturday, you know, it is what it is. I'm glad the turmoil of the season is over, but that was just a microcosm of what we dealt with.
Oh, you're right. Absolutely was.
Yes. If you remember, I think Brian and you and myself, for the season, you said, I'll just go into this season with no expectations, meaning if the ceiling was high, great. If the ceiling was low, it is what it is. Just where we are as a program. I feel so bad for number 8. The kid was just trying to make a play. It reminds me 2 years ago or 4 years ago of Tank. Did not run out of bounds. We had to win. I don't know. I don't like the words, but it's something over our program that the worst times, the worst things are going to happen to us. That, you know, it's frustrating till you can't even talk about it anymore. So hopefully a new day dawning with new Coach Gelich.
Yep, they need to. I mean, this has just gotten ridiculous. Looking back on that game, I cannot believe, and y'all can agree or disagree with me, but I thought Auburn came out in the first 20 minutes and played scared. Maybe that's not the right word. But just not
right.
Playing with an edge, not getting after it, not delivering the blows, and just spotted Alabama 17-0 lead at home at night in the greatest atmosphere and one of the greatest atmospheres in the country for football. It just blows my mind that that's the Auburn team that showed up there to start that game. It's unacceptable.
And I didn't, you know what I mean? Like I was. You know, I wasn't there. I was watching it from the confines of a book in Vegas with a lot of other invested people about it. But like but it seemed like
what was the line, by the way, when it
went six and a half is when it
went,
went off
boy.
Went off most places. Alabama played
that fourth down pass, boy, that killed a lot of people, didn't it?
Yep.
I closed my case.
Why he went for it.
But that was, I think that was a game where, I mean, credit to Auburn for getting off the mat, because I think it's 17-0.
Oh, you're right.
If I ask Bill, inject you with truth serum right now.
No, I'll tell you what. When it was 17-0, I said, if they, you know, if Auburn goes three and out again, and they get any points, there's no telling how bad this is going to
get. And they did go three and out again, didn't they? And then they forced Alabama to three and out. Yeah. I thought, I got to go back and look, but yeah, it's hard to really talk too much about that game because it doesn't necessarily matter anymore. Right?
You know what I would too, if you're looking for, I mean. We're mentioning players to retain.
You hope that some of the guys that play well matter for Auburn anymore. That's about the only thing.
And you know, I wouldn't hold the, like, I mean, look, Cam Coleman's trying to make a play.
Oh, absolutely. And look, he got hurt on like the second or third play of the game. Remember?
You rolled with one of your best players in that situation.
You absolutely did.
And if he gets tackled, you're at the 20, seven.
Look, like he spun away and made the first guy miss. And was just trying to get more. So, absolutely. A couple of guys, though, got to mention, I mean, unbelievable. Malcolm Simmons, the last two ball games.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
Xavier Atkins. I've heard some Alabama people that are just amazed at Xavier Atkins and wondering, why wasn't he doing that at LSU?
These are second-year players, both of them.
Guys that have 2 years of eligibility.
That you really hope you can hold on to.
Yep.
I would lump Jay Crawford into that mix as well. Another guy who is, you know, quietly.
And there's more than a handful. That you really, really would like to have back.
And I think Alex Golish, with a month to make his case, could very well keep some of those players in the fold. Will I blame any of them?
Well, he's got 5 days before players can enter the portal.
But they can always come back out of
that's
it. That's
right.
And then they've got 15
days that they can enter it.
Right.
Yeah. And then they can go back in the portal again in January 2nd.
By the way, we talked about it. Auburn did go three and out after Alabama went up 17-0, but they forced a three and out by Alabama.
If Alabama did anything, the game was over. And Jeff, we appreciate the call.
Yeah, thanks.
334-321-1390. Uncle Ollie is up next. What's up, Unc?
Hello, gentlemen. Hope y'all are doing well. So
pretty well.
Not bad. Tired.
I bet you are. I was listening to the show before you, and I couldn't get in, but somebody had sent a text in about they weren't happy because Golish is Malzahn 2.0. Well, they have not watched South Florida. Golish is Art Briles 2.0. He does not. Other than running fast, if you watch Art Briles at Baylor and watch what South Florida's doing, that's Art Briles. That's what you're seeing, not Gus Malzahn.
No, I think that's a good point. I like Heupel's offense. I like how he really stretches the field vertically, especially when he has the right quarterback and the right receivers, which I think Auburn can have next year in that position. I also like something he said. I'll see if I can pull up exactly the wording, but it was basically offensively, you know, he wants to spread the field horizontally and vertically, but he said the biggest thing offensively was being able to adjust and change it with the times. You can't keep doing the same thing over and over again. And as he was saying that, I'm like, that's exactly the problem Auburn's had on offense for so many years now.
Exactly. And that caught my ear too, because, you know, he talked about being at Central Florida and they went to Tennessee and they had to morph because defenses were different. Everything was different. Yep. Then he went to South Florida. He had to morph again. So that encouraged me. And the other thing I was going to say before I get off, I'm a huge DJ Durkin fan. But I'll say this: if he hasn't made a decision by now, he's not coming back. And I say that because if he's doing the Lane Kiffin thing, waiting around, see what the best offer is or whatever, then he just needs to move on. And we'll just have to take our lumps with these players. Yeah. That's just my opinion. But if he's not all in, there's no sense in going back and forth. I mean, he's the highest paid coordinator in the country, defensive coordinator in the country. And if his heart isn't in it, he just move on. I mean, I hate to say it because I really, really love DJ Durkin.
Yeah.
But you got to be all hands on board. And here's the other thing. The problem that Golis is going to have is an Auburn problem, in that when you have somebody like that, that some of the big guys wanted as the head coach, you always are looking over your shoulder. You're always thinking, all right, is this guy loyal to me or is he loyal to somebody else? And from that aspect, I have to say, you know what? It might be best if we just clean house and just start over.
Yeah. Well, I think it looks like he's bringing in a large portion of his staff from USF. But I will say this on Durkin. I do not think a decision has been made there. I think there is a job out there that he is a candidate, that's the right word. And so I don't think there's a lot of back and forth or anybody holding anybody hostage. I just think everybody's expecting what can happen.
Kentucky could do a lot worse than
Here's the other thing to keep in mind, Okalali. The other thing to keep in mind is one of the things Alex Golis talked about today, and you can go find a couple of interviews with him talking about his philosophy, and he is wanting, expecting, and is going to have a defense that attacks and attacks and attacks.
Yeah.
He does not want a bend but don't break defense. And I know people don't like those terms, but that's what DJ Durkin's really good at. He's not it is not a blitzing all the time, taking chances, just to try to create turnovers. I think that's more what Alex Golis is looking for. So is that going to fit?
We'll see.
Also, is another thing to keep in mind.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Going back to Kentucky, here's going to be my prediction. Might be totally wrong, but I'm thinking Neil Brown.
I was thinking, Jerry Parker there at Troy, who was a Kentucky grad and has the Trojans in the Sun Belt Championship game this weekend, might be somebody they might take a look at. Neil Brown would be an interesting choice. I know there was buzz that John Sumrall's next staff could potentially include Neil Brown. I wonder if that could also be a possibility.
He's hired Kentucky's defensive coordinator at Florida.
Right. So we'll see. But, yeah, Neil Brown would be Neil Brown potentially a name to watch. Yeah, we hadn't even mentioned that Stoops is
happened last night.
Late last night, yeah, Kentucky deciding to move on from Stoops. So, busy weekend in the conference with coaching changes.
Did also see that
appreciate it, Uncle Ollie. Good stuff.
Yeah, appreciate the call, right, Uncle Ollie. Keeping up with different reports from, like Football Scoop and others. I don't remember which one, but one of the latest things I saw, Brian, was that Alex Golis is bringing in his linebackers coach from South Florida as well. And, of course, that's the position that DJ Durkin coached.
Yes, that's true. So, yeah. But DJ can coach another position.
Sure, he could. He can coach any other position.
I really got the sense from his answer. So if you didn't hear the press conference, by the way, the press conference is worth watching. Track it down.
Track it down
wherever you can find it. It's all over YouTube. Our friend Rosie Langello from WSFA asks second or third question of the press conference and asks him directly about DJ Durkin and whether or not he's going to retain him. And while it wasn't you didn't get a clean denial or a yes, I thought the fact that Alex Golis was, the fact that he deferred to such a degree on that question rather than giving a straight yes or no sets a runway up for DJ Durkin not to be the defensive coordinator anymore. Now, look, like you said, maybe he's also in the running for a job and a decision will be made soon. But I thought that answer sort of it should get people ready for someone else to be the defensive coordinator instead of DJ Durkin under Alex Golis. I mean, Bill, did you come away from that press conference?
Oh, no.
The answer.
Like, yeah, I felt like that doesn't sound like DJ Durkin's going to be back.
I'm just saying it's not over.
Don't rule it out, but I would say I would lean more toward less likely.
Yes.
334-321-1390. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Bill, Dan, and Brian coming to you from Franklin Tire here on the Monday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday evening. Bill, it's 4:40, and I'm saying Monday evening, but it's dark outside. Bill, Dan, and Brian Matthews, Marlboro Sports.
Put your headset on before you chime in, Brian.
Here in the studio. Well, Philip, hold the mic closer.
Oh, boy.
All right. So we're actually having a little conversation. It's interesting. I had seen some conversation, but didn't know where it was coming from. Had not seen the Pete Nakos article, I guess, from, was it October?
Yeah, there's two. There's a story from On3 from October, and then there's one a couple of weeks later sort of updating or providing more context about the portal. But that was the last I'd heard about some of these dates. And some of this apparently is like guidance, you know, that schools reached out to the NCAA, and this is what they heard back.
Yeah, because we had heard, and it was, I mean, there's no question the NCAA had said, when there is a coaching change, players could enter the portal 5 days after the head coach was announced and would have 15 days. Apparently, though, that would only pertain to coaching changes made after the portal really opens January 2nd, between January 2nd and what, June 30th?
Yeah, it's basically, you know, post New Year's Day
so what
coaching
that,
changes.
Yeah. So what that would mean, if that is indeed the case, and I have no reason to doubt that, I just couldn't find that on the NCAA when I Googled it under NCAA, is that players could decide they're going to leave, but players on all these teams that are announcing head coaches like today. It's amazing the number of head coaching spots we've had filled here in the last 24 hours, that those schools' players could announce they're entering the portal, but they could not actually enter the portal till January 2nd.
Yeah, so we're going to have, I would say, between now and New Year's Day, you're going to have a lot of
news. You're going to have a lot of announcements.
Yes, but you may not have any actual movement. It's going to be a little bit like baseball free agency, right, where you're going to have negotiations going on and players
can't start signing until January 2nd.
Players reopening, but I think they can reopen their recruitments, right? I mean,
I'm sure they can.
I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, and you know what? And if a school wants to be in the mix, you know, players will allow it. And so it's, yeah, I mean, the day that the portal actually opens, especially once you find a head coach, the day the portal actually opens, not terribly important, because these negotiations now are ongoing. And there is a period of exclusivity for Auburn where they can try to make their case. And it's easier to make the case to the players when you have a coach, right? When you fill that when you fill that vacancy and let that guy explain what he wants to do with the program.
Yeah.
Bill's still doing research on this.
I am. I'm reading the last NCAA release came September 29th on modification of transfer period recommendation.
And I think the NACO story from early October recaps that, and then there's an update to the NACO story a couple weeks later that mentions those.
Why wouldn't the NCAA have that in their, you know, in their archives? NCAA, I guess, as far as the NCAA is concerned, it doesn't matter. The public doesn't need to know.
Well, because reading from the On3 story, the On3 has learned the NCAA has sent guidance to schools.
Yeah.
That this is what happened. So if you can't find it,
But they don't list it in their rules, which is brilliant. All right, anyway, that's not the most important thing. There are plenty of things. We'd love to hear from you, your thoughts on the Alex Golish hire. You know, obviously questions are, what happened? Well, you know, wasn't it John Sumrall? And it appeared to be for a long, long time, Brian.
It did, until about midweek, I'd say, last week. Yep. And, you know, I think Florida got more involved there. And, you know, Auburn started shifting his focus more to Golish and Durkin. And, you know, according to both Cohen and Golish, the decision was made, or the offer, the official offer was made 1 a.m. Sunday morning.
Right.
And he was, you know, stepping out of the plane less than 12 hours later, right? So things move quickly.
Yeah, and Cody agreed with what Alex said, that, yeah, it was 2 o'clock he got the phone call.
Yeah.
And he was ready to be at Auburn right then. All right, we've got a bank full of phone calls, 334-321-1390. Jack is up first. Hey, Jack.
Hey, Bill, Dan, and Brian. Good to talk to you guys. Brian, I totally agree with what you said yesterday on your show with Jay Tate and Justin Hogenson. You know, I was fine when we hired Brian Harsin and was super excited when we hired Hugh Free, so I'm going to have to be a lot more cautious with my optimism here. But yeah, on the social media and the message boards in the last few days, obviously there's been a lot of comparisons, you know, from John Sumrall to Alex Golish. I know I made a post on the Bunker about a month ago that if I had to choose between the two, I would probably rather have Golish, just because of the true turnaround that he did at USF compared to Sumrall, who inherited a good situation and just kept it going. I mean, they've both done good jobs. I think it's just kind of, you know, apples to oranges. They've done good jobs in different ways, but there seems to be kind of a narrative forming among the national media that Auburn dropped the ball with John Sumrall. You know, do you guys necessarily agree with that, or have you heard anything
that
confirms that? Or
I think there were two competing narratives being pushed by two competing sides as we got to the end of last week, and it looked like that those two groups, Sumrall and Auburn, were kind of separating. He was going to Florida. But here's my thing. I think this round of coaching changes could turn out a lot of different ways. We've seen it over and over again where everybody's best coach hire turns out to be a complete bust, and somebody maybe you didn't think was a great hire turns out to be a great hire. So as far as Auburn and Golish go, it could be a great hire. It could be much better than Sumrall in Florida, or the opposite. I would not be surprised if Lane Kiffin was a complete bust at LSU. You just don't know how a certain coach is going to operate.
No. There are no guarantees. Right. There are no sure things. I'll tell you one thing that I do feel much better about, Jack, and that is when I found out, and it was reinforced today, affirmed by Alex Golish, that he is not the play caller. Because remember, we had said that is something that was a concern. And John Cohen, I was going to ask John about that, because he had expressed concern with being able to be a play caller and be the head coach. And it's good to know. I mean, obviously, Alex Golish's offense still very prolific this year. I think they're second or third nationally in total offense.
Yep. And over 500 yards.
That's with him stepping back and his offensive coordinator, who he's bringing with him, calling the plays.
Yes, yes.
And so one more thing. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but it was On3 tweeted this. Apparently there was a quote where John Sumrall talked during his press conference today, talked about how he and Lane Kiffin talked a ton the past week, and Lane Kiffin told him Florida was the perfect landing spot for it. Was that not the most awkward thing you guys have seen? And
I mean, I'll Lane's telling him about the perfect landing spot as he's preparing to take off. But no, you know, I got a couple of calls from folks over the weekend saying, here's what they had heard about this part of the Sumrall thing was Lane Kiffin said, you don't want to go to Auburn or Florida's. You're going to get less interference at Florida than you're going to get at Auburn. And that's something I think Florida used too. But then it was interesting to hear Alex Golish today talking about alignment. So,
right.
I mean,
right,
it just depends on, you know, who you're getting the story from.
It does feel, I don't know, ironic maybe is the word that you know, a lot of folks thought that John Sumrall fit the mold of successful previous Auburn coaches, and Alex Golish fit the mold
of Florida coaches.
Previous successful Florida coaches, and they both end up in the SEC, but not at the school that you thought was going to take them.
Absolutely. All right, guys. It's always good to talk to you.
Appreciate it, Jack. Well, let's head to Baton Rouge.
All right.
And talk with well, I don't know. I guess he's not in Baton Rouge yet. He's hanging around here for another day or two. What are you hearing from Baton Rouge, Tex? How are you doing today?
Haven't spent any time and really don't care. I'm more worried about what's going on here. They're pretty excited. They thought Kiffin all along, but
Oh, yeah.
Some of the former players that I'm good friends with some people involved in the program are taking a sit and show me type approach to the job, because Kelly was supposed to. I mean, they had the guy, you know. They had the next guy to take him to the national championship. Now they've run him out of town because he was a jerk. But I think Lane, it's going to be very interesting. He has some characteristics that fit in really, really good in Baton Rouge. You also have some that don't fit in really, really good. Mm-hmm. And there's a group on the money side that want to be just what you just got to be talking about, be able to be part of what's going on. I don't see Lane doing that. So it's going
to
be
I'll tell you what a deal there. He got. LSU's going to pay him his incentives if Ole Miss does anything in the postseason. I mean, goodness, I've never heard of a school paying a coach who has left another school those incentives.
Well, I wish we would have come together 10 or 15 years ago and opened a line of chicken tender stores and become famous across the world so you could write a big enough check for all of that to happen. So Graves has done it, him along, and I've said it all along with Gig Gordon, Gordon McKernan, an injury attorney down there. So I want to – can I get on the Auburn side here a little bit? Number one, what a great, great, great atmosphere to be in. You can – look, I had a regular pullover on. I never got cold during that game. I was involved and excited, and people around you were involved and excited. It was so much fun to be at, and it never, ever went out, even at 17-0. The fans didn't leave until the last offensive play we had in the game. And so I was proud of our fans and the way they've handled things. Not proud of the three Alabama fans that had seats two rows behind us, but that's easily taken care of. Anyway, so many, many years ago, I was in Beardy's Coliseum, and they walked a new head coach onto the basketball floor and introduced him. And the number one question that went through the student section was, where do we get him from? Where do we get him from? Today, we know what color underwear he probably wore when he signed the contract. We spend so much time worrying about today. It's not about today. It has nothing to do with today. He's there. That's who we chose. It's what he does over the next 12 months, 24 months, 36 months. And his approach reminds me an awful lot of some of the way questions were answered by that same young man that took a head coaching job here at Auburn, named Pat Dye. I don't know that he'll have the same success, but I think he has the same focus, the same integrity, and the willingness to work to make that happen. So, to me, that's the excitement in this. I could care less whether he balked a little bit on a question on whether or not he's going to hire Durkin or not. That's for you guys to go over all the time. Who cares? Because if he balked, that means they may still hire him, or they may not. There's going to be one or the other. We've got a guy, I think, that is going to work and push until it gets right. And I think we may have – I hate to say this. A good friend of mine told me the other night, Dan, that I need to give you credit because Golish was on your list to begin with. So I'm giving Dan Patrick – sorry, Dan. Didn't mean to say that.
Wow.
Giving Dan credit for this. I think you
hope
were
he's making that salary.
Yeah, it would be good for anybody. This is the kind of coach that this guy is, I believe. Just listening to him, reading up on him, watching what he's done, and talking to some of my friends that might be in the South Florida area. All right.
Yeah, you know, so, Tex, something he talked about that I know has picked up a little bit of steam, that I know, you know, it's been a refrain on this show, is the belief that you need to emphasize local recruiting to win at Auburn.
250-mile radius.
Yep. Well, I mean, Brian, what did you think of hearing him talk about that as a guy who he's been in the SEC, he's been at South Florida, coming into Alabama to recruit?
UCF, Tennessee, yeah. South Florida. So, yeah, he's
I thought
he's
this became a big issue under Gus. I didn't think they recruited, you know, well enough close by. And thought they lost too many battles to Georgia and Alabama at the time. So I don't think that's necessarily been the case recently. I thought
Hugh Freeze.
But one of the reasons Hugh Freeze was able to recruit as well as he did was because he was able to get a lot of those local players to buy in. And if you're wondering about recruiting taking a downturn when you move from Freeze to Golish, the fact that Golish is talking about how important it is to win those local hotbeds and to have, you know, to have a presence there, you know, I think he's saying the right things.
The one thing I am excited about Golish is he's got at least one coach, maybe more, that has some really solid South Florida ties. And I can just go back to the Tupperware era and the job Eddie Grant and some of those guys did recruiting South Florida, how important it was to the Pat Dye era, Dillard High School. Remember that, right?
Oh, yeah.
I get that right. Yeah, yeah.
And then for people that were concerned, you know, is he going to keep anybody on the staff that knows anything about Auburn? Cody Burns.
Yeah, there you go.
Knows a little bit.
Yep.
Hey, just remember what kind of player Cody Burns was. What did he do in the national championship game?
Selfless. Caught a touchdown pass.
Caught the first touchdown. Yeah. That's right.
Caught a touchdown pass because he moved from playing quarterback. He has surrounded himself with good people. And I think that is and then for players, then I'll let you go because I know you got a lot of people want to talk about
this. Oh, yeah, we're way Saban, behind.
I know. I love Coach Saban. I know he coached at a place we don't like. I didn't like him at LSU. But I like his approach, and he will tell you he's a much better coach with better players.
Oh, yep.
No
Great
doubt.
Stuff, Tex.
All right, guys.
We've got to get to that final break. Michael, hang on. We'll be back here on the Monday Drive from Franklin Tire.
Yellowwood knows that a five-star backyard is the place to make lasting memories, like roasting marshmallows on a cool fall night. That's it. Turn it nice and slow. Get it toasted all. Oh, no, it's on fire. Oh, you want it on fire. Okay, that's a choice, I guess. Crunchy. For five-star backyards and the most memorable experiences, Yellowwood brand pressure-treated pine. If it doesn't have that yellow tag, you don't want it.
At Affordable Comfort Cooling Systems and Plumbing, we believe our work is more than just AC and plumbing repairs. It's about serving people with integrity and care. As a Christian-owned company, we take Colossians 3:23 to heart. Whatever you do, work at it all with your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. That's why at ACCS and Plumbing, we do the job right the first time and always stand behind our work. As a proud Rheem dealer, we're committed to offering top-quality products and faith-driven values. Give us a call today or visit accsauburn.com to learn more. That's accsauburn.com.
Hey guys, my name is Tyler Reynolds with Reynolds Outdoors in Opelika. As your East Alabama firearms headquarters with over 1,000 guns in stock and with brand names like Browning, Beretta, and Kimber, we are sure to have a gun to meet your needs. As a locally and family-owned store, Reynolds Outdoors would like to personally wish Auburn the best of luck on the football field. Visit us on Facebook and Instagram or call us at 334-745-7642. Go Tigers!
Live on The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390.
We're back.
We are out of time for hour number one of the Monday Drive. Michael, if you can, hang on. You'll be up first when we come back. Bill's also holding on. We'll try to get as many calls in as we can here on a very busy Monday Drive as we come to you from Franklin Tire.
Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Monday Drive as we come to you from Franklin Tire here on University. Where they have been for over four decades, taking care of folks and their vehicles, do a great job of anything you need. I mean, from minor to major repair, great body shop as well. Don't forget about their 24-hour drop
You can, you know, you drop your keys off and leave the car if you know, if they are, you know, are closed. They're normally open 7:30 to 5:30 Monday through Friday, extending it a half an hour with us here on this Monday, and then 7:30 until midday on Saturday. But great folks, and they will take care of you and your vehicle here at Franklin Tire. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. A busy day today as we were formally introduced to Auburn's 33rd head football coach, Alex Golish. And we'd love your thoughts. And we have had callers holding and hanging on over the break. So let's get to Michael, who has been hanging on for a while. Hey, Michael, how are you doing today?
It's just Bill who's hanging on, right?
Oh,
no.
Oh, wait, do we still have Michael?
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah, this is, yeah, this is Michael.
Okay.
I actually hung up, but I had the technician was being difficult, you know, technical difficult, and I hung up, but I called back quick enough, and apparently he worked me back in.
All right, good deal.
How are y'all?
Good to hear from you. We're doing fine.
Hey there, Michael.
Great to listen to your show, Bill, Dan, Brian, and Matt. Bill, how old are you?
I'm old. I'm drawing Social Security.
I'll tell you what. Bill mentioned we talked about this at the press conference.
I have been at every football coaching change for Auburn since Coach Dye. I was there at Foy for Coach Dye.
You were there for 60 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to go back
about
that
15
far.
Of us I'm, there for
I'm,
that one.
I'm going back before that. As a young Boy Scout, I used to go to all the home games. I would say the last 4 or 5 years of Chip Jordan's tenure. And then I went during Doug Barfield's tenure. And that just kind of destroyed my image of Auburn, because they just did bad. They're doing what they're doing right now, and they've done for the last few years. Just couldn't win in spite of themselves. And I remember Pat Dye when he became coach, and it seemed like the first year wasn't that great. But later in life, I became good friends with Pat Dye. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
But what I was going to say is I remember the same kind of struggle that we had way back then, because I was there when Doug Barfield was there. And I went to school while Pat Dye was coaching. I was in Auburn for several years. And I remember,
I was around, Michael. Yeah, I just wasn't covering it back then, but I was definitely around back then, so I can relate.
But I thank you for what you do. I've listened to you for a long time, probably the beginning of what was called Sports Call.
Yeah,
Jim Fife and Bill Cameron.
Yeah, we did.
Out of Montgomery.
Sports Line out of Montgomery. Yeah. That was carried here. Yeah,
right.
Yep.
Sure.
I appreciate that.
So I followed you for a long time, and I lost you for there for a while, and because I kind of moved out of Auburn. And as it's going right now, I'm headed down towards Spanish Fort, but only to turn around and come back to Sand Mountain in a few days. Kind of moving up that way. I live up near Lake Martin right now. I got some land right off the lake. And so there's a lot of Auburn fans up there. This is good news. A lot of Auburn fans. You get to Sand Mountain, you don't find Auburn fans. Right now, it just ain't me. I don't think they let them stay up there very much. But I'm excited. I hope this guy is given a chance, and you know, he's got the right mentality, it sounds like. And but I just have watched Auburn struggle for so many years, and I hope this is a little bit different. Hope we get a spark, kind of like we did under Pat Dye. I mean, I'm still friends with Chizik. I knew Tuberville. I haven't seen Chizik in several months, but he goes to the same gym I go to in Auburn when I'm able to go there. And Auburn's a wonderful place. It's just you can't match this feeling. I've been on other campuses, and I just never felt quite what I felt in Auburn. You know, I would say the loveliest village is really one of the loveliest places to go. But thank y'all for what you do. And for all your input and insight.
We appreciate that, Michael. Really good hearing from you.
Absolutely. I've been listening for a while myself, Bill. It was so exciting to jump on board in the first place. And with regards to what Michael was saying about the uniqueness, the specialness, I think the fact that the support didn't wane during the freeze era.
It's amazing.
Absolutely
amazing.
Or the hard, and I think that's something that makes Auburn even more attractive to a potential coach, and it's something Golish cited during his press conference. You know, that he can't believe the kind of program from a support standpoint, what he's walking into, and how helpful that will be in turning this thing around. Yeah.
Let's get right back to the drive. Appreciate it, Michael. Thanks a lot for the call. We'll get right back to the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, and Bill is up next. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. I was going to just call into – I hope the Auburn people, regardless of who we wanted to be the coach, whether it's Summerall or Joe Bag of Donuts, or it doesn't really matter, get behind the guy that was hired totally, and give him a chance to win. The last couple coaches have not gone very well. I don't think he's walking into a completely empty roster. I would like to have seen what this team could have done if they had a competent head coach. I think they would have been 9-2 or maybe 7-3 going into the Iron Bowl, but that's water under the bridge. But I just hope everybody gets behind them. And regardless of who you wanted to come back or get hired, just get behind the current coach. He'll do a good job. Auburn sells itself in many ways. And like I said, I don't think we're empty-handed. I think we've got some good players. And he'll keep a lot of them. Some he won't. But in the grand scheme of things, the guys that really love Auburn and like being here, they'll stay. And the ones who just want a couple of extra bucks, they'll leave. And that's kind of the way it is.
I think that's one of the things that I was going to say, sorry to jump in there, but, that's something that Alex Golish talked about today, is finding the ones that want to be here. That doesn't mean they won't be compensated well.
Right, right.
But, he really, he wants to find out which ones really want to be here. And I would think offensive players have got to take a really – good look at this. It would be hard for an offensive player not to be interested in staying because, his teams have run the frickin' ball, as he said. They've run it well and put up
quarterbacks have put up huge numbers, right?
And
the receivers,
yes.
Big play receivers in his offense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it fits a lot of what Auburn has. Already, talent-wise, especially in the receiver room.
Right.
And then we'll see what happens at quarterback. Their quarterback, is it Brown?
Byron Brown.
He does have 1 year of eligibility left. He threw for 3,000 yards and rushed for over 1,000 yards.
That is right.
Last season, he's like 6'3",
230-something.
Big boy, yes. And, I could definitely see something happening there.
I know South Florida folks – expect him and a couple of their other top offensive players to enter the portal.
There was a story in the Tampa Bay Times last week about Byron Brown playing his last home game.
Wow,
at USF.
And that's not.
I think there's talk that he could be a first round pick in the NFL draft.
He's projected like late second.
Yeah, there's some folks who believe that he could have strong workouts and sort of play his way in there.
Gotcha.
There's also the belief that he could have a lot of money. He could be this year's John Mateer. Mm-hmm. He could be this year's Cam Ward. He could be the hot mid-major quarterback going somewhere. And the fact that you went, just like with John Mateer.
Yes. I made this point.
You went and got his offense.
Yep.
Diego Pavia.
If you wanted to be in the Byron Brown sweepstakes, if there is a Byron Brown sweepstakes, one would think that Auburn would have the
first, second, third, and fourth, and fifth favorite.
They're in the old, how about the catbird seat?
Yeah, you could say that.
If you will.
Yes. Very good.
So I've been kind of out of the loop after the Alabama game. I packed up and went to the mountains for a week stay secluded here. So I haven't heard the news, but Lane Kiffin did go to LSU.
Lane Kiffin's press conference is happening right now, I believe. He's currently being introduced as the head coach of the LSU Tigers. If it's been a whirlwind. I feel like it's one of the first episodes. It's like the beginning of an episode of Soap. right, where we have to update you on a whole lot of stuff really, really quickly. But Lane Kiffin's gone. Pete Golding is the permanent head coach.
He's
not the interim head coach at Ole Miss. He is the head coach of the Ole Miss Rebels and will coach them in the college football playoff. Florida has hired John Sumrall from Tulane.
Arkansas has hired Ryan Silverfield from Memphis.
Kentucky has fired Mark Stoops. Does that catch everybody up
I
on the SEC?
That's it over the last day.
Okay, that's your SEC, yeah. That's everything.
It was a wild Sunday in college football.
That's everything that's happened since I got on a plane leaving Vegas late Saturday night, early Sunday morning.
And you know, Kiffin will probably do well at LSU. He's done well everywhere else. But I was just stunned that he had tremendous legacy in the Ole Miss. And you know, instead of being a traveling gypsy show, actually drop his anchor somewhere and establish a legacy. But you know, some people just crave the spotlight. And LSU's a great place. He'll probably do well there. Mm-hmm. I guess Samarol.
I mean, I'm sure it was a difficult decision, Bill, because on one hand, not only could he build a legacy at Ole Miss, but he could win playoff games there this year if he decided to stay and you know, sign a long-term deal with them.
And he's going to be pulling for them, too, because he's going to get those incentives if they do.
But does he have – although if Ole Miss wins without him, it also begs there's
– Yeah, but it's money in his pocket.
It's money in his pocket, but if we're talking about his legacy and his reputation, winning playoff games without him would raise the question of, well,
how valuable would you be?
But I think that – does LSU offer him a bigger chance to win over the next 4, 6, 8 years? Probably. Right? Can you get a higher caliber of player? Can you,
one of the things that Lane apparently talking about at his press conference, I'm seeing a couple of little notes from it. He's going into some of the details of what he talked to Pete Carroll and
Nick Saban
about. And I wonder how Ole Miss fans are going to feel toward Nick Saban I argue with him. Look, it should be a better situation as far as being able to bring in talent at LSU than it is at Ole Miss.
I know some folks would raise the question of whether or not it's appropriate for ESPN analyst Nick Saban to be advising coaches
he's a mentor for Lane.
I know, but I mean, if while he's also on College Game Day, trying to be unbiased.
ESPN doesn't care.
I know they don't, but it's I had somebody else going,
you know, somebody was saying, you know, when did LSU become, one of the absolute top programs in the country? They've been really, really good. But they were just lamenting how ESPN is really pushing. LSU is right there with Ohio State and Alabama and Georgia. LSU should be. It's like, man, maybe ESPN just wants another great program from the conference that they carry the most.
Well, I mean, I think both sides of that, where LSU
they've had three different coaches win national championships.
Right, and they've been – and they, I think
the last
they've
20 years.
They've probably been in, you know, since 2000. They've probably been a top 10, top 15 program in overall wins. And there's the belief that –
Oh, this person was just saying, but ESPN's touting them like they're just an automatic top 5.
No, and you – is the belief that with the right coach they can be a consistent top 5 program? Because I think that's what folks think Lane Kiffin is about to do at LSU. And
I would say Florida shouldn't be, you know – when you're talking about programs that could be.
Well, 20 years ago, it was the quote-unquote best program in the country. Florida.
Yes.
And that things can change. Mm-hmm. But LSU does have an incredible amount of pluses or positives.
They are the school in a talent-rich state.
Yep. And the coaches that have won national championships there aren't necessarily
Hall of Fame coaches.
Right. So it's a terrific job.
There's three coaches who won championships. One of them actually is a Hall of Famer.
Just Lane, just the way he is, I just wonder, you know, how he handles the pressure, the big jobs and everything. I'll be interested to see how it turns out.
Oh, no kidding. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews. All right, Brian, you mentioned Byron Brown a little while ago.
Yes, quarterback.
That sort of leads into, look, we're 36 hours or so, a little over, 39 hours away from signing day.
Yes, crazy, isn't
and,
it?
And there's already been some news. Auburn has added a commitment.
Coming
to
Goins.
They had three commitments heading out the door.
Yes. So this is I'll run down what's happened so far today. Braylon Womack, I think he's a five-star safety or a high.
He's top, very highly touted.
Has flipped
number two from, player in Mississippi, I believe.
Has flipped to Mississippi State. He attended the Egg Bowl, I guess, as a I don't know if it's official or unofficial visit. That appears to be done there. The offensive lineman, Nikau Hepi, I believe he's from New Zealand. He was in the what do they call it, NFL Academy.
Let's put it this way. We won't have to worry about pronouncing his name, at least not as a
I'm especially really a bad pronouncer of names. But he is just decommitted. I think that was a situation where Auburn, you know, just didn't see him fitting into their future plans. And the same with quarterback Peyton Falzone, who was committed to Penn State, flipped to Auburn, and now he's going to have to find a new home. Mm-hmm. Another guy that maybe didn't fit into Auburn's plans going forward. And then Auburn has also added a commitment from DeMarcus Broughton from the Mobile area.
Yeah, he's from Mary Montgomery down in Sims.
Former USF commit. I think he was here this weekend or recently. So I think that's a young man they're pretty high on with the upside there.
I'll tell you the players. I mean, look, if you have guys, you know, we named some of them earlier. Of the players who have gotten on the field and produced, your freshmen and sophomores, you know, I think clearly you'd want to, if they fit from a culture standpoint and a personality standpoint, you would want to keep those guys around because they've shown you that they have, you know, the ability to grow into, you know, the ability to play college football now and maybe the ability to grow into something really special down the road. Malcolm Simmons and Cam Coleman are both great examples of that. There are other freshmen and sophomores who have played very sporadically or not at all. They're pretty good recruits. They're guys you were excited about. I think it would be totally understandable for any number of those players to decide, you know what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, maybe.
Regardless of whether
there's definitely going to be some of that.
Yeah, right. And I would brace for that, there's even even with some guys that you know, you might think right now, you know, could fight for a spot on the two deep if they stuck around. But I would brace for that. I think it's a matter of Golish identifying the most important of those freshmen and sophomores, the ones you can count on right now to help you, and figuring out sort of where he stands with as many of those guys as possible.
Yeah, I think, you know, you look at the roster, and I think you summed it up right. I think anybody that's been here for a couple of years and hasn't played, and this goes whether for it's a coaching change or not, they're big-time candidates to just move on, right? Some of them, not all of them, but, you know, some of them are just going to do it. I think there's a couple of outside linebackers, edges that, you know, haven't played there. Offensive linemen, there's a couple there that really haven't played for one, you know, a couple of years, maybe three, to keep an eye on. I'm trying to think of some other position groups.
Well, I mean, Auburn is loaded. I mean, and on defense, I mean, there's
signed two freshman tight ends, didn't really see the field too much
this
year.
Yeah, was an injury with one or both, maybe one. Mm-hmm. The other one was a guy who needed to put on some weight and stuff. So we'll see how it goes. You know, some of it has to do with them. Some of it will have to do with this new staff and how they're evaluated.
All right, we'll get to our first break of hour number two. Plenty of time for you to join in. 334-321-1390. Bill, Dan, and Brian here on the Monday Drive from Franklin Tire.
Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. It's, man, it has been a crazy time. I go to sleep and then you know check in the next morning, and it takes me a while to catch up on everything you guys have got out there, Brian.
It has
been serious info.
Count the stories, it's probably close to 20. I would
think that's probably right.
I am a little tired, I'm gonna admit that, but yes, we are cranking it out, you know, whether it was recruiting from the game. Alex Golish, of course, the hire. We had his press conference today. We've got I don't know, 5, 6, 7 stories up already on that. And we'll continue to cover that because a lot is happening as far as assistant coaches being hired. Recruiting, of course, signing day is in, you know, Wednesday morning. So, you know, we've already had those three decommitments and one commitment. I think there's going to be more movement.
Yeah, I wonder, and that's something. I think it was way too early to ask. When I was asking him about prioritizing, I expected the answer about the current roster first. But I wonder now if there's any change in how many players they'd like to sign.
To me, it makes sense if they've got some guys that they know that they'd like that they've recruited. Maybe USF recruited these kids and they committed somewhere else because somewhere else was a better program.
Wanted to go play in maybe in the SEC.
Now they've got Auburn and they've got Auburn money to go after these kids. So maybe there's somebody – I don't have a particular kid in mind, but I'm just saying maybe there's some opportunities to do that. I think there will be. And then we'll see as they go through Auburn's current commitments, and it looks like they've already pretty much done that. We'll see if any other guys decide to pop out. Jace Matthews is one to watch. Of course, they want to keep him, the five-star receiver, but he is highly coveted by Ole Miss and LSU, I think it is. So we'll see how that turns out there over the next 48 hours. But, a lot going on.
334-321-1390 is the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And Crawford is up next. Hey, Crawford.
Hey, my friends. You know me, talking about the abstract. I was stunned when I heard the comment that this is our 33rd head coach. Well, we've only had, if you count the interim, 13 or 14 since Shug.
Wow.
And he was hired in 51, and we started playing football in 1892. So we had 20 head coaches in 49 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about calling him the 33rd. I'm more like you. It's the
we're counting interim. We're counting interims.
Yeah, that's counting the interims.
You have to count interims. There's no way in hell we've had that many head coaches.
Right.
Yeah. You're right. I didn't think about that when he said that.
I don't want to sell the interims short. You know, I mean, their time.
They're in the record
too.
Books. I mean, their records are there in the books.
Like Bill Oliver, hell, Cadillac, whatever. You know, so.
Mm-hmm. And DJ.
I mean, right. That's head coach. So,
like, and I while I recognize that Brian Harsin was let go during his second season and Hugh Freeze was let go during his third season, I don't view that as impatience by the university. I don't view that as Auburn rushing to judgment. I think both of those, like where we stand right now, knowing the new head coach, knowing the plan moving forward. I think both of those moves you can say were made at the right time.
Oh yeah,
like you can argue whether or not Hugh Freeze, whether or not it was the prudent move to go with Hugh Freeze after Brian Harsin, now that we saw those 3 years, but as far as the decision to let both of those guys go, like I don't believe in the idea of the expectations are unreal and Auburn will pull the plug prematurely on a guy before he's I think both those coaches were given a chance to succeed, showed Auburn what they had, and lost their jobs. And now Alex Golish will get a chance to show Auburn what he's got, and hopefully he makes it to the Iron Bowl in year three, right? Like, it'll be a refreshing change of pace from the last two guys that Auburn has hired.
I like to hire the Siberian Tiger.
All right.
I like that. The only other
comment I've got is I don't know whether it was – I think it was a Georgia Tech game because I think it's ACC officials that were calling it. Total transparency in the review process. They had six people on TV on the screen discussing the call. Mm-hmm. That's what the SEC needs. If they had we may have won the damn Georgia game.
Is that an ACC thing?
That's the way they do it in the ACC,
right?
Yes.
It's really good. And it's great. I mean, you're absolutely right. We've talked about it a few times.
And that's what we need in the SEC, whatever. Mm-hmm. Thank you, guys. War Eagle anyway.
Appreciate it.
By the way, I just want to pump up our side and really my colleagues because they are such hard workers. 33 stories since Golish was hired.
33 stories.
I just counted them. So, yeah. That's a lot of content. I can't keep up with all of it myself. So.
Those aren't interim stories.
When are we? Yeah. But when are we getting? Like when did the news? What was it, early Sunday morning? You had the story. Yes.
It was like 10 o'clock.
Yes.
Around 10 o'clock.
That finally got out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about a story an hour.
I think it was actually
since then.
It was a little, maybe a little before, but it wasn't much before then. Yeah. So, I mean, no, I would say, all right, so that's in 32 hours, 33 stories.
That's crazy.
That's pretty good.
That is crazy. Yeah.
All right, 334-321-1390. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Plenty of time for you to join us here on the Monday Drive from Franklin Tire.
ESPN 1067 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday evening. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews coming to you from Franklin Tire, where, again, they can take care of whatever you need with your vehicle. I mean, from regular service to minor to major mechanical problems to body work, they can take care of it. You can give them a call, 821-4572. If you're, you know, you think it's after hours and you'd like to drop your vehicle off, you can do that. They've got a drop box where you can leave your key and you can, explain what the situation is. They've got 24-hour towing as well. I mean, again, they'll take care of you and your vehicles here at Franklin Tire. Let's get back to the drive hotline, 334-321-1390, and Clay is up next. Hey, Clay.
Good afternoon, man. And I really just want to bring up a point and let all of y'all go on your own rant, because I was just absolutely disgusted as a sports fan Saturday when I heard a four-hour commercial for Lane Kiffin.
Oh, I know. It was ridiculous.
To coach through the playoffs. And,
yep.
And listen, I'm not that bad of an Auburn fan that I just hate Alabama. But for Nick frickin' Saban, who fired him, dismissed him from the team,
yeah,
because
exactly,
he had taken a job at FIU, and said, no, you can't coach the national championship game. And then Nick to say, well, you know what? They really need to let him. I mean, it was already a done deal. Everybody knew he was leaving. And that just made me want to throw up. And I know y'all are an ESPN affiliate. I understand that on the radio.
Oh, that's all right. That doesn't have anything to do with it.
Absolutely vomit.
I can't comment on this because I don't watch game day. I can't comment on this because I don't watch college game day.
I try not to, but I know we
wondered about the conflict of interest questions.
Well,
there.
There's also there most of them are represented by the same agent.
But
too.
I'll be absolutely clear about this, and I kind of thought Lane was going to stay and build that legacy at Ole Miss. Instead, he's decided to leave. I absolutely understand Ole Miss's point of view.
Oh, no question.
That Lane
There's
Kiffin.
No way he'd be coaching for me
staying
in that situation.
Staying in the conference and going to coach a team that's one of your two or three biggest rivals, the thought that he's going to
it would have been another nothing but LSU commercial.
Absolutely. And if you replace him and the new guy wins, you're off to a really good start. In the aftermath of Lane Kiffin, just like was the 1989 Michigan Wolverines that fired Bill Frieder, wanted to go coach Arizona State when the season was over, and they let him go, and they promoted Steve Fisher before the NCAA tournament even started, and Steve Fisher won the championship.
He did.
With that Michigan team, and
the Michigan
I
man.
Forgot and, about that, Dan. That is a great enough, and I'm the biggest Ole Miss fan right now. And I think Jake Crane, I heard him say it, and the best way that I've heard it is like what Lane Kiffin is asking is if you go home and catch your spouse with another person and they're like, okay, well, y'all finish your business, but once you finish your business, then we're going to get a divorce. No, that's not what you do. and ESPN was just pumping that up all day Saturday.
It's ridiculous.
It was just disgusting.
Yeah. And maybe I don't want to get into like the conspiracy about does it help with ratings for the Ole Miss games if Kiffin's the coach, or is there I think Ole Miss in the after with a coach that's having jilted them, you know, and gone and coached somewhere else in the conference, I find this Ole Miss team without him to be a lot easier to root for. And I want to see what happens. And it'd be great to see, what an underdog story. If they can go,
definitely going to be the sympathetic, you know, team that everybody's cheering for. I hope they get a home game, and there's a 500,000 people over there at the Grove, and I will be pulling for Ole Miss.
Hey, I'll tell you something I heard today. Now I didn't watch all the game day either, but I heard this on. I heard this on ESPN radio earlier today that they're expecting Ole Miss to be dropped tomorrow night.
That's ridiculous.
Because Lane Kiffin is no longer there.
You're going to penalize
Ole Miss for this? If you do, I mean, yeah.
Look, you can drop them if you want. If you keep them, if you drop them out of the 12.
No, they're not going to drop them out of the 12, but it was comparing them to Florida State losing their quarterback.
It's just ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, that's ridiculous, and Nick Saban should be ashamed of himself. That is the most hypocritical thing you could possibly do. The most powerful man in college football is going to sit and say that when he did the exact same thing to the man he's talking about. That's shameful. Yep. That's the last thing I've got to say. I love the program. Listen to y'all every day. Y'all have a good day. War Eagle, new era. Let's go. It's basketball season. Let's go.
Yeah. Great stuff, Clay.
I've just gotten to the point where the only time I watch ESPN is to watch a live game. I don't care anything about any of their opinions. They don't give both sides anymore, or it's just two guys arguing about something and not really having a intelligent discussion.
It is a fairly complicated deal, though. Someone with a pretty good resume is getting left out of this playoff field, right?
You've got
10-2 Vandy making their case for why they deserve inclusion. You've got 10-2 Notre Dame, talking about why they belong in, having won 10 in a row. I mean, people wonder, where's the substance there with Notre Dame? Miami beat Notre Dame.
You also have the SEC right now. Really, really pushing hard that there's no way that Alabama should be penalized if they lose the SEC championship game, because that would be loss number 3.
Right.
And Alabama is what, number 12 in the latest regular polls that came out today. I heard this, and I'm sorry. I feel like they're 10 in this week's AP poll. I feel like I should be sent to the corner for saying this, but I flipped on a Birmingham show just to hear. I wanted to hear what the conversation was.
Right.
And I mean, the conversation was all about Alabama. So I turned it off in a couple of minutes. But I mean, the one thing I heard was, you can't do that. It's unprecedented to drop Alabama out if they lose. And it's like unprecedented. I remember 2017, Auburn was number 2 in the BCS rankings.
Right.
And had just beaten Alabama.
Yep.
And when they lose to Georgia in the SEC title
game. Here we go again.
Alabama and Georgia both make it in over Auburn. So it's maybe it's unprecedented for Alabama, but it's not unprecedented.
Yeah, want to see what they do because tomorrow.
You've got
a point, and I think that they've worried about how losing a conference championship game can negatively impact playoff position. I mean, that would be a double-edged sword for Alabama, because I think at 10-2 right now, if they weren't in the SEC championship game, I think they'd be in.
I mean, I agree.
Well, Auburn could have been that.
But when you look at the way the NCAA basketball tournament is seeded, is Alabama playing better coming down the stretch? No, they are not.
No.
And I mean, I see that they're a slight favorite over Georgia this coming Saturday, but I just don't know. I think Georgia should be able to beat Alabama Saturday. Yeah. I think Georgia's playing a little better, and Alabama hasn't been.
Do they do one last ranking before, or do they take this week off?
No, they're doing it again tomorrow.
We're getting one tomorrow.
Have another one tomorrow.
That whole thing's ridiculous too. ESPN with that stuff.
Yep.
I don't watch that at all, and I'm only forced to watch it if Auburn's on it, which hopefully I will be forced to watch it in the coming years. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Brian, we've got a couple of minutes before we get to our final break, and I don't think we have a call right this second. So yeah, let's. There's Monday musings amidst all the other things.
We're gonna do that tomorrow. Yes, we ran out of time today.
Oh wow! Yeah. Can you tell us?
Oh, okay.
Can you preview?
Well, see,
can you preview?
Oh, wait. I was talking about the rundown. Not Monday musings.
No,
yeah.
I was gonna
we
say.
Got that.
I thought I saw it.
I gotta find it.
I saw where it.
I was gonna say you gotta think of a Tuesday.
I don't
Tuesday,
know what it is.
There it is. Tuesday tunes.
Yeah.
All right. Let me move back here so you can see it, Bill. But this is one that only Bill could possibly get, and it's going to be a tough one, okay? We are going back 13 years, but it's really back
– 13 years?
But it's really back all the way to 1969, okay? You'll get it. And we're starting with the Golden Wiener. Okay, here we go. We go back 13 years to the presentation of a Golden Wiener to a songwriter more than four decades – after he finished writing a hit single at a local hot dog restaurant.
All right, so
that's tough. I mean, that's just not enough information.
Really, I have no idea.
Okay.
Can you tell us anything about the song?
Really.
Are hot dogs factored into the song?
It was, okay, this song was on the best-selling album of the 20th century.
The best-selling album of the 20th
century. Which was a greatest hit album by
Eagles,
yes.
I was going to say, if it's going to be a greatest hits,
yes.
But I don't think of greatest hits albums usually, but...
So it is an Eagles song.
An Eagles song.
Hotel California?
No, this would be from the first.
No, it would have been written in 69. It would
be their first album.
It's going to be something like Peaceful Easy Feeling.
Boom. Got it.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
I had to think of something really
early. Yeah.
So this is somebody who wrote it?
Yeah, co-writer for it, yes. And co-writer
Jack?
For Jack Templeton.
Oh, okay. I probably would have said Templeton, but that's a Doobie Brothers.
He was the co-writer of Already Gone.
Okay.
Also, the writer of what was that other song?
I remember seeing the name and some credits, but I really don't know that much about it.
Sway Into the Music, Slow Dancing. He wrote that was covered by Johnny Rivers.
Yep.
So top 10 hit.
Why did it
sound like the Barclays or somebody first?
So it won the Golden Wiener because it was written at a hot dog stand?
The mayor of San Diego presented it to him.
Is that something they present?
It was just like
people?
I think it was kind of like a fun thing to do. He's a San Diego native, famous for that. He also teamed up with Glenn Frey to write "You Belong to the City," which is number
Smuggler's
two hit,
Blues.
And "Smuggler's Blues" too, along with being a
what did they get in gold for writing "Smuggler's Blues"?
That's a good question.
Yeah, the golden bag.
But also had 13 solo albums on his own and, was a really good singer and solo performer too, but mostly known for his songwriting, inducted into the Songwriting Hall of Fame.
I didn't realize he was an artist as much. I'd seen his name as a songwriter.
Yep.
Tell you what we'll do. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. That way we'll have room for as many calls as we can get in, starting with Matt when we come back. For the final segment of the Monday Drive from...
Be a part of the drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final segment here on this Monday evening. And right back to the drive hotline we go. And Matt is up next. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. It's been a while. I wanted to weigh in. I'll make it brief. I'm excited about a new change, and it sounds like it's kind of good. We need somebody that I think that has that kind of attitude, but I'm curious to see how we do at the quarterback position. Every good team in SEC has got good quarterback play and a good leadership at quarterback, and I'll be curious to see how he is able to work on the roster, and I'll be really looking at the quarterback position. That'll be something moving forward, I think that we'll need to see improvement on. But I wanted to ask you guys your opinion. Our offensive line has been so inconsistent of the year, even though it's supposed to be better. Is his offensive scheme make it easier for offensive linemen to perform better? I mean, does it get rid of the ball quicker? Do we have different scheme on blocking? Is that going to be something? I know his his offensive line coach is like 30 years old. I don't know if he's bringing him with him or not, but
I believe
is that something
is.
We can see improvement on, or is he going to have to start over with the player?
No, I think that's what Auburn should see improvement on. I think you've got a group of offensive linemen, and we'll see who, you know, what that room looks like, you know, in 30 plus days or whatever. But I think you've got a pretty young group, and I think it's an area that you can address in the portal going forward. And I'm just trying to pull up USF's sack numbers. I know Auburn's was terrible this
year. Sacks allowed?
Yeah. See if I can get that real quick. Here we go.
Running game wasn't too much better, but he said kind of like he was going to – we were going to spread and pass to get the get running. If we can't run, strength, you know, it sounded like his scheme. I haven't watched Tennessee when he was there enough to be able to tell that.
They run the ball. And, you know, I think part of the problem at Auburn this past year was – them sticking with the quarterback who really struggled to hold on to the ball too long and get rid of it. USF gave up 17 sacks last season.
Wow, that's not bad.
That's not bad at all. Auburn, let's see what their final was. I haven't looked at it yet, but it was worse than the SEC last time I checked.
Probably gave up 17.
No, it's not worse. South Carolina's worse. Auburn gave up 42 sacks. South Carolina, 43.
And Shane Beamer still has a job right now.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
pretty amazing. So, but that is an area that's been a problem.
Is Deuce Knight going to be the guy next year? You think?
I think there's a chance that Byron Brown, who is at South Florida now, but who has 1 year of eligibility, could enter the portal. He's thrown for over 3,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and rushed for over 1,000 yards. Let me see how many touchdowns he has rushing. If I can find that real quick.
So if he transfers, do you think we lose the other two guys that we have on the roster?
You know, I think Ashton Daniels, you know, could be back and looking to compete. You know, even
Ashton post game sure sounded like his plan is to be at Auburn.
Yeah, I mean, I think if Auburn were to sign someone who projects as a day one starter, you know, a senior in the portal,
it'd be tough for any young quarterback.
That could be a tough, you know, tough to convince Deuce to stick around through that.
But Ashton is that guy too, and before this occurred. You know, I felt like Auburn was in position to return Deuce and Ashton if they were both up for it. So I would not completely rule it out. I think it would be a bit of a surprise, but I wouldn't rule it out.
Appreciate it, Matt.
The Brown kid also had 1,000 yards rushing and 14 more touchdowns. So that's
42 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Accounted for, which.
Woo, pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Yep. So he is also – he's not a little guy. He's 6'3", 230. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that would be a nice addition.
I saw USF listed him this past week like 232.
Yeah.
So he's stout.
Completed 66% of his passes. Yep. Only seven interceptions. Yep.
And so. how many attempts?
341.
So 17 sacks in 341 attempts.
Right.
That's not bad protection from the offensive line.
Yeah.
All right. We've got a couple of minutes left here. It has been a wild last couple of days. We've got a big basketball game coming up Wednesday night. ACC Challenge gets started tomorrow night. And at Auburn, I think, wraps it up with that late game Wednesday night against
love those
pretty good NC
late
State
games,
team.
Right? And NC State, are they ranked right now?
They have been.
It looks like they're out of the rankings for some reason. I'm not. I will look at basketball closely tomorrow.
They've lost. I think they may have lost three games by now. But of course, that's Will Wade.
Yes.
There at NC State.
Yes, and can give out as many offers that
that's
he wants
right.
to now. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, I mean, he can coach.
Yes, he can. He absolutely can. And this will be another great test for Auburn. I thought it was big.
Before they
for
have
them.
Another huge test.
Yes. Is it Purdue after this, or is it
Arizona?
Arizona and then Purdue, right?
Yeah, I mean.
Something like that. But
it is.
Yes.
But I really
feel. 1-2 in the country right now.
I feel though.
Purdue, Arizona.
Brian, this is the first time we've had a chance, and there's been so much else to talk about. But I thought the way Auburn bounced back against St. John's was tremendous.
Really impressive. And they got behind, and they fought back.
Yeah.
And they're getting, you know, it's great to see Tahad, you know, get going, right? Mm-hmm. But they're getting production from other guys in the lineup, too. It's just good to see. You can see them starting to come together. starting to play defense, you know, not there yet, but starting to play defense the way Coach Pearl wants them to play, and forcing those turnovers, you know, getting a little bit faster on offense. It's just, I mean, I thought along this was going to be an exciting team that's going to get better as the season goes on, and
I
like what
do.
I've seen so far.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, we're just about out of time. Brian, let everybody know how they can keep up with everything because, I mean, there will be news breaking.
Yes.
I mean, as we get staff,
yes.
Additions to the staff, word
recruiting.
From players who are going to stick, who might
yep.
leave, recruiting, so much more.
Yep. Yeah, all that and more. AuburnSports.com, part of our Three Rivals Network. I believe we're running a special right now, half off.
Wow.
So you can still jump
Man,
on
that's
that.
That's a lot for your money then.
It is. And, you know, like you said, we'll be cranking out a lot more info, 33 updates since the hire of Alex Golish, and there will be plenty more coming up. Just put up one while we were here on air. So, yeah, we're going to keep cranking it out.
All right. Thanks a lot, Brian. Really appreciate you.
It.
I know it's crazy times. We're glad you were able to spend this time with us.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Dan, you've got a quick trip. You've got to head out and miss tomorrow's show.
Yeah, I'm headed to Longwood up in Farmville, Virginia.
Nice.
To take on the –
See, Longwood sounds like they ought to be further north than that.
Yeah, I didn't know very much about Longwood. I've been doing my research the last couple of days about the Lancers from the Big South Conference, but I'll be calling that one Wednesday morning. And then I'm back. In time for the show Thursday.
All right. Have a good trip. We should have Coach Dunn in tomorrow. We'll talk with the voice
awesome.
Of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, in the 4 o'clock hour as well. So we've had a great time again. Franklin Tire, great folks, and they will take care of you and your vehicle.
Absolutely.
So make sure you count on them. We're out of time here on the Monday drive, though, so that'll do it till tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.
ACCSAuburn.com to learn more. That's ACCSAuburn.com.